And then these men will help us as folks are coming in a little late to make sure that everyone has it. Take your folder for just a moment before we pray and begin. Let's make sure that you understand what's in it. First of all, you'll see your teacher handout that looks like this and is similar to what you have every week. And we'll have the permanent material here in just a few days, but this will help us for Sunday to be prepared. There's a little handout inside of it that says goals for this series. This is for the entire series on the miracles of Jesus, and background reading and questions for the first lesson. Also, the lesson aims for the first lesson are all in here. And then as far as printed material goes, you have both the introduction and the first chapter. And in just a moment, I'm going to tell you why that's so important, but I want you to make sure you have both in your folder, the introduction and chapter number one on the first miracle, and both of those will help you as far as background reading is concerned for the Lord's Day. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. We thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Lord God, that you've given us these truths so that we might know you in a greater way. I pray that you'll help us tonight as we enter into our study to have wisdom, to be led of the Spirit of God, and to give us thy grace. And we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like you to open your Bibles tonight to John chapter number 2, if you would. John chapter 2. And this is the record that we have of the very first marriage, or the very first miracle, rather, at the marriage that the Lord Jesus performed in his earthly ministry. We'll talk about a number of these miracles over the next few weeks. We're starting a brand new series this Lord's Day on the miracles of Jesus. And before you launch into this first lesson, before you talk about the miracle of the marriage, it would be very helpful to you to do some foundational work in your class. And in the reading material, in the book on the miracles of Jesus, you'll find an introduction to this entire series that gives you some foundational information. And let me give you just a few things and draw a few things to your attention before we read tonight that may be helpful to you. The first miracle that the Lord Jesus actually performed is not found in John chapter number 2. The first miracle that he performed is found in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. It's the creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When you come to the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse number 16, the Bible says that by Christ and for Christ, all things were created. And so the first miracle that he performs is in the very first verse of Scripture. And I think that's important in our understanding. We serve a miracle-working God. Amen? And the miracles of Jesus that we are talking about are the miracles that are recorded for us in the gospel records, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are about 35 of them. Frankly, everything in Christ's life and ministry was miraculous. For 33 and a half years, everything was miraculous. His birth was a miracle. It was a virgin birth. His sinless life was a miracle. His death was a miracle. He dismissed his spirit. No one took his life from him. His resurrection was a miracle. His ascension was a miracle. So everything about his life, everything connected with the Lord Jesus Christ is miraculous. And then you start looking at all the things that he did. And he demonstrated his power over everything. For example, his power over nature. This is the man that the disciples said, the God-man that the disciples said, who is this man that even the winds and the seas obey him? So power over nature, power over demons, power over disease, power over death. On at least three different occasions, the Lord Jesus literally raised someone from the dead. That's powerful. And so we're talking about the miracles of Jesus, even power over food. He could take a boy's lunch and feed 5,000 hungry men. I'd say that's a miracle. And all through the gospel records, you find these miracles recorded for us. But it is of note which one is given to us first. We talk in Bible study about the law of first mention. The first time you find something mentioned, there is significance in it. And that's true of this miracle that we read about in John chapter number 2. Let's look at it together. John chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says, in the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles, would you mark that please in verse number 11? This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. This beginning of miracles, the miracle at the marriage. Now, I think it is important that we define what a miracle is. That term is used very loosely by some people. They say, that's a miracle. Actually, a miracle is something that cannot be accomplished or explained by human effort. So a man's intellect, scientific effort, none of those things can substitute for what only God can do. It is truly a miracle when it cannot be explained or accomplished by human effort. The purpose of all miracles is to reveal to us who the Lord Jesus Christ is. For example, the Lord Jesus did not have a water-walking, dead-raising, blind person healing ministry. That's not what he had. He did not have a healing ministry primarily. He had a revealing ministry. In other words, everything the Lord Jesus did that we call a miracle was done for the express purpose of letting men know who he was. I'll give you a good verse on this, John chapter 5 and verse number 36, in the words of Christ himself. He says this, John 5, 36, "The works that I do bear witness of me." So the purpose is to reveal, to take the veil away, to reveal who Christ is. As you study the miracles of Jesus, you see his power. As you study through the miracles and hear him talking about these miracles, you learn a great principle. The great principle is this, that the more we see of God's power evidenced in our own lives, the more accountable we are. For example, the Lord Jesus said to Capernaum, if Sodom had seen what you've seen, they would have repented and they would have still been here. In other words, Capernaum was even more accountable because of all the miracles that Christ did in that place. The same thing is true in our lives. Think of the miracle Christ did when he saved you. The greatest miracle of all is the miracle of a changed life. All of us are witness to that. And so when we see the Lord Jesus doing these miracles, and by the way, as we study through the miracles of Jesus, we all become more accountable because we see what God and only God can do. Why is this the beginning of miracles? Why this place? Why this particular instance? I think there are a couple of things by way of introduction that Pastor brings to our attention in the reading material that are helpful. One of them is that the Lord Jesus emphasizes the institution of marriage. The first miracle that he performs, he signifies his blessing on marriage, the marriage of a man and a woman. And in the day and age we live, in our society, what's going on at this present time, the things that so many people are hearing, this is something that we must emphasize, that God ordained the institution of marriage. And the Lord Jesus blessed it, even by his presence at a marriage. But even more than that, in a broader scale, he introduces to us everything that we know about the miracles of Jesus in this first miracle. Let me show you a cross-reference quickly before we jump into the outline for this. Turn to the book of Acts for just a moment. Acts chapter number 2 and verse 22. Peter is speaking, and he says this, Acts 2:22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." I'd like you to take your pen and underline two things. In verse 22, underline this please, "a man approved of God among you by miracles." A man approved of God among you by miracles. In other words, God let everybody know who his son was through the miracles that he performed. And then, underline this in verse 23, "ye by wicked hands have crucified and slain." It tells us something not only about the fact that there were witnesses to all of Christ's miracles, but it tells us something about the fact that the Lord Jesus, for all the miracles that he did, was still shunned, still rejected. You hear people say from time to time, "Well, you know, if the Lord Jesus was on earth today performing those miracles, I'd believe." Really? They didn't. Think about the last miracle Jesus performed while he was on earth before he went to Calvary. What was it? Standing in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter took out a sword, cut off a man's ear. The Lord Jesus picks it up, reattaches it to the man's head. The bleeding stopped. Immediately he's healed. And what did they do? Still, they arrested him and led him away to be crucified. It tells you something about the hardness of man's heart. And the reason this is important in the introduction to this study is this reason. Just studying the miracles of Jesus does not change our lives. Just hearing the story does not make us different people. Somewhere, God has to become real to us. Somewhere, we have to say, we will trust this miracle-working God for our own situation, for our own lives. Three simple things in this lesson. Make note of them, please. Number one, in John chapter 2, we see the Master. The Master, of course, is the Lord Jesus. In verse number 4, he looks at his mother, and instead of calling her mother, notice what he says, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" And someone immediately says, is he being disrespectful? Not at all. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was doing, this is the same Christ who was subject unto his parents for all those years. What he's doing is he's establishing there's a new relationship now. No longer is he in submission to his mother. Now he's in submission to the will of his heavenly Father. By the way, this is the same wording that will be used when the Lord Jesus looks at her from the cross and he says, "Woman, behold thy son." Same word. In other words, from the very beginning of these miracles, Christ is connecting himself to his purpose for being on earth. He didn't just come to live. He didn't just come to live and perform miracles. He lived so he could die. Die for the sins of mankind. And then he makes this statement. Notice it, please. "Mine hour is not yet come." Would you circle that? And in the margin of your Bible, write, this is used 7 times in the Gospel of John alone. 7 times, "Mine hour is not yet come." In 6 of the times, he says, "It's not yet come." And then as he nears the end, in John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer of Christ, he said, "Father, the hour is come." In other words, everything in the life and the ministry and even the miracles of Christ was leading and building up to Calvary. Christ must always be connected to Calvary. If all we do is talk about the person of Christ in his humanity, born in a manger, living on earth for 33.5 years, performing miracles, teaching lessons, we've missed the point entirely. We must make a beeline for the cross at the beginning of this miracle. It's not just a man, it is the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing you see in this lesson this week is not only the Master, but the miracle itself. Let me point out 2 or 3 interesting things to you the pastor brings up in this lesson. First of all, he used ordinary water pots. Nothing unusual, just what was lying around. He used ordinary water. There's no trickery involved here. This is where you see the difference between the natural and the supernatural. This is God. I don't know about you, but studying these miracles, this excites me. Because when you see God at work, you think, you know, God's working in my life. This miracle working God, nothing is too hard for him. But then here's the most amazing thing. He used ordinary servants. The people that were there serving, God used them. Now remember this, no one else knew what he had done, but the servants did. Notice what the Bible says. It's in parenthesis, but it's of great note in verse number 9. The Bible says the ruler didn't know where the water and the wine had come from. And in parenthesis, notice what it says, but the servants which drew the water knew. Think of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're laborers together with God. When you allow God to work in your life and you trust him for what only God can do, you have the privilege of seeing God do things and knowing things that other people don't know. I mean, they heard him say, "Fill it up, draw it out, bear it to the governor of the feast." They knew water went into those vessels and they watched wine come out. That's an amazing thing. And as we allow God to work in our lives, we begin to see God's miracles, God doing what only he can do. And then notice, please, what the governor says at the end of the story. He says in verse 10, "Every man at the beginning does set forth good wine," which underline the word good. "And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse," underline the word worse. This is the world's way. The world's order is they always give you what they have, the good things up front, and from there it's all downhill. It all gets worse. It just disappears. Every day apart from God gets more miserable, more hollow, more empty. The Lord does the exact opposite. In other words, it gets sweeter every day with Jesus. Every day. The best is yet to come. Tomorrow will be greater than today. And the day I enter heaven will be greater than them all. The best is still ahead. That's what the Lord does. And that is the difference between the natural and the supernatural. We're learning something, not just about an event. We're learning something about God and the way he works in man's lives. We're learning something from this miracle. The third thing I want to draw to your attention is not only the Master and the miracle, but the manifestation. And please look with me at verse number 11, the last verse we read together. The manifestation of verse number 11, the Bible says this, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Would you circle two key words in verse number 11, the word glory and the word believed, and then draw a line, a small line, back up to the word miracles. What was the Lord Jesus doing when he performed this miracle and all the rest? He was declaring who he was. He was manifesting forth his own glory. And the Bible says the disciples believed on him. Now, wait a minute. I thought they had already believed on him to follow him. They had, but their faith is now increasing. They're seeing God do greater things, and as he does, their faith is increasing. And what we need more than anything else are believers who've caught a glimpse of the glory of God, who've seen God do something so miraculous in their own life that they can't help but talk about it. Someone that has seen the Lord and his glory in such a way that their life manifests forth God's presence and God's power in their life. I say to you again, the greatest miracle of all is the miracle of a changed life. And I must tell you that in studying the material that pastors prepared for us for this lesson, my own heart was stirred and excited again about the miracles of Jesus. And may God help us at this time in our own lives and in the life and ministry of this church to see that our God is a miracle-working God and nothing is too hard for him. Amen. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for what we learn about the Master, about your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for this miracle, what we learn about the way you work in our lives, always saving the best for last. And thank you, Lord, that you've manifested forth your glory to us. Help us never get over the wonder of being saved, of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I pray, help us to manifest forth your glory every day by our own life so that others will see and believe and know who our God is and will thank you and praise you for it. Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law in this study. In Jesus' name, amen.